Rise, the South Side's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Grubb. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Crane 1-2. He did it. He's done it. He's the play purple. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank studio. We're here till 8 o'clock tonight. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet at us. We'll get back to you throughout the show. It's NBA All-Star Weekend, Jonathan. We're walking you up to the Rising Stars game right here on ESPN 1000. But first, Addison Russell addressed the media today in Arizona.
Yes, indeed he did. And you knew it was coming. We were wondering would he be able to sit down and talk to the media. And obviously, as we're going to hear, for those of you that missed it on the way home here, we will give you some of the flavor from Addison Russell today. We kind of knew that it would be somewhat rehearsed and was not surprised by that. He was very careful in his words because of the seriousness of the situation. And also, he's tiptoeing around the opportunity to play either for the Cubs or Major League Baseball overall here in 2019.
We will talk to Jesse Rogers in about 25 minutes right here on ESPN 1000 with an update live from Arizona. But, Jonathan, you're right. So last September, ex-wife Melissa Reddy Russell came out with a blog post, and that's where this all started. And then Addison Russell was then suspended under the Joint Domestic Violence, Sexual Assault, and Child Abuse Policy for Major League Baseball. He'll serve the final 28 games of that suspension at the beginning of this upcoming season. So he still is suspended but can partake in spring training, and that's where he met the media today for the first time since all of this came out. So it's the first time Addison Russell was able to speak. He was asked, how did it get so bad as it did?
So I want to take accountability for my past actions. And like I said, I'm not proud of the person that I once was. Without getting into details or specifics, I just want to own that what I did was wrong and inexcusable. And I'm sorry. Sorry for the hurt and pain that I put Melissa through.
So, Addison Russell there, and as you'll hear through many of these cuts, it sounded scripted. To me, it sounded cold. It didn't seem like there was a lot of emotion that was coming from Addison Russell, and it seemed like he just wanted to not really talk about it, which part of me understands, but then also part of me is also not understanding how he can just not talk about it when this is something that we've all been talking about for a long time now.
I think that no matter how he came across, whether it was scripted or off the top of his head where there was some pauses in his speech, Chris, it was never going to come across as someone that everybody feels sorry for. For some, yes, because right. There are some people that just root for laundry, using a Seinfeld phrase there of everybody just roots for laundry. But I think that in this spot, because it's the first time, it was whether you thought it was scripted, whether you thought that it was heartfelt, it's always going to come across as, what really went on there, and how serious did it get, and what's really going through his mind. So all those question marks are going to come up anyway because Russell put himself in this spot.
What did Addison Russell learn about domestic violence? He answered that question.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Through counseling, I have expanded my definition on what domestic abuse is, and it includes feeling like you're the only person on an island, feeling isolated, but also disrespected by someone who cares about you.
So that's Addison Russell talking about that. He also responded to how his teammates have responded to him since this has all gone down.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. My teammates have shown nothing but support for me and my family. I think through this whole process, the person that has been inflicted the most in this process is Melissa. And what I want to say to everyone here today, and also to her, is that I want to own those actions. And I am sorry for the hurt that I have caused Melissa and the pain that I put her through. And I am trying my best efforts to become a better person.
Now, that took place early in the press conference, and it seemed like, you know, I hope that's not the first time he's saying that to Melissa. We don't know that, but that is one of the few points where he kind of stopped and paused as he responded to the questions from the reporters.
Well, just listening to the press conference live and then going back and hearing the cuts here on the program, Chris, it's just, I think that from my standpoint, he wants to make sure that he's playing on a baseball team, whether it's the Cubs or somebody else, at the end of the, by the time, you know, the suspension is going to be over here. But I think that we have to look at this for what it is, and that is, this is a domestic violence situation. And I know that for me, I can be able to look at an athlete or any person and say, if you're involved with domestic violence, there's something wrong with you. And if it's part of, if it's a player that is a favorite on my team, I clearly can look at this and say, you know what, if you're with my team, I just don't have any tolerance for it. I don't. I think, as I've said this about Kareem Hunt, I've said this about a number of other players in sports over the last 20 years doing this. Look, I just don't have any time and any tolerance for this. Every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted or beaten. Around the world, at least one in three women has been beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused during her lifetime. Most often, the abuser is a member of her own family. And the stats on domestic violence goes on and on. And some want to turn a blind eye to it because they're just rooting for a World Series champion and rooting for someone that they paid good money to see. But you've got to be able to look at the person there and say, you want to talk about a mistake? I don't. You want to talk about just an isolated incident? I don't. We're talking about someone that has an issue, and he was trying to sort out his issues in this press conference today.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black. If you want to join the conversation, Cub fans, 312-332-3776. How does this make you feel? You listen to the press conference. Maybe you're hearing it right now for the first time. How does it make you feel as a Cub fan that this guy is still a part of your team, still a part of the organization, and clearly the organization's behind him at this point? And at no point, you know, here's the thing. Kansas City cut Kareem Hunt because he lied to them, right? Like, right. Isn't that what we've all assumed to why he was cut? It wasn't because of the domestic violence. It was because he lied about it, right?
Right.
We now have on the record that Addison Russell lied to the Cubs originally, and now is, without admitting that whatever his ex-wife said, he's not denying now throughout this press conference.
Right.
At no point did he say that that didn't happen. So he lied to the Cubs and they were okay with it, apparently, right?
That's how the timeline seems, that's for sure.
Addison Russell was asked, why do you believe you deserve a second chance?
Because I'm driven. I've always wanted to become a better person. I'm showing growth and improvements in areas that needed to be attended to. And my family is benefiting from that growth. I see it every day when I come home to my children. You know, it's a great feeling whenever you can communicate with your partner and your children and have a loving atmosphere, you know, a loving home.
He goes on to say that he's thankful for the Cubs to give him a second chance.
Through this process, I have to be accountable. I have to own it in my own home and my family. The organization has shown me great support, not only me, but my family. And most importantly, the person that has been impacted on this issue the most, which is Melissa. And just to have the support of the organization for myself, my family, and Melissa speaks to this organization. I myself am happy to be here, and my family thanks this organization for having me here to give me a second chance.
Addison Russell, any words for Cub fans out there?
I understand that there's Cub fans that don't understand this process that I'm going through. I'm sorry for letting the Cub fans down, along with the organization. What I want to say to them is, I am committed in my work to become a better person and be a better person at the end of this.
Okay, so we've played quite a few cuts here in the first 10 minutes of the show, and I think you're starting to get the gist that, like we said to start, very scripted, a bit robotic, mm-hmm. and it seems to lack emotion. And like the thing that bothers me is he doesn't have to show up crying and saying each and every time he hit his ex-wife or what actually took place. But I think if he would have been acting a little more remorseful than he did, I think I would buy it more.
Well, Chris, wait. So in the court of public opinion,
right?
It's never going to be 100%. Everyone's not going to be on his side. I told you my side of it. My mm-hmm. side of it is, no matter how he sounded, robotic, scripted, bullet point, make sure that he hit all his marks. No matter how he came across, there are going to be people on both sides of this argument. There's going to be the one side from Cub fans or those that turn a blind eye to domestic violence and say, you know, it's not that big a deal because I'm more into animals. I'm more into children. I'm more into defending other things. And domestic violence in the home is not on someone's radar.
Right.
On the other side of things, you can look at it and say, here's an athlete for a team that I root for. And I can look at the athlete and the action and be able to look at both and say, yes, I know him as a terrific ball player, but what he did was wrong. And for some, they can't separate the two. It's like, well, no matter what he does off the field, that guy was a World Series champion. And that's when fandom gets dangerous. When you can't look and see what's actually happening here as he falls on his sword. He tells the press what happened today and that he's trying to clean up his life. That's a positive for him. There's no doubt. But understand this. If you feel remorse for Addison Russell based on these cuts, what about his ex-wife? I know she doesn't play. I know she doesn't play the infield for the Cubs, but she was the victim in this spot.
Yeah. And it's nothing you say there changes if he is more emotional in this setting. But we've seen plenty of athletes come out with these type of press conferences in the past, right? We saw the awkward interview that Lisa Saunders was grilling Kareem Hunt in his kitchen, right? And Kareem Hunt did not come across well on that ESPN interview, right?
Right.
We've seen many of these interviews. Tiger Woods, after the situation he had, when everything started to spiral out of his life, come out with a press conference. We see this time and time again, and it's like, okay, he said those things. He didn't want to address it. Now is this done? Do people now, are you okay with this? Are Cub fans okay with this moving forward? Do you need more things answered? I know many people, I mean, David Kaplan here on the station said that he wanted to know specifics. He did not get specifics in this press conference. So now do Cap and other Cub fans look at it as, well, I don't want this guy on my team because he won't answer said specifics?
Specifics is not the press's, unless you're going to dig in and really try to research this thing. It's between the wife, the ex-wife, and Addison Russell. Unless you dig in, that's because here's the thing. What specifics do you need to know that Russell's suspension officially is violating the Joint Domestic Violence Sexual Act and Child Abuse Policy? What else do you need to know? What else do you need to know? Because if that's what's happening, what else do you need to know to be convinced that, hey, what he did was wrong?
It's a good point. I don't, because I think you and I agree on this. It's a yes or no thing, right? Was there abuse? Did he strike her? Yes, no type of thing. That's how we view domestic violence. But I think there are many people who view this as a gray area conversation.
It's just not.
I totally agree. I think that's why those people are looking for yeah. Give me the specifics. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 312-332-3776. Aaron in Bensonville kicks things off tonight on ESPN 1000. It's Black and Hood here on ESPN 1000. Aaron, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, I was just saying about another aspect about it, maybe why a lot of people are giving these athletes chances again is because, you know, they're making millions, big dollars, millions of dollars, and maybe they're afraid that, you know, for other athletes that maybe women might come along and try to extort them and, you know, maybe make lies about, you know, future. Maybe that's why they're giving these guys the benefit of the doubt and giving them a second try, you know?
That the Cubs are giving them a second try, I think. Is that what you're trying to say, Aaron?
Yeah. The Cubs and with the other, the football player, the Kansas City
Kareem
guy,
Hunt.
You know? Yeah, sorry. But his was on video, obviously. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, they're giving these guys a second chance. Because now if you know, say you can send a woman over there, hey, say this guy hit you, let me get paid, you know?
Let's address this, Aaron, and we appreciate the phone call. Because I'm just never one to try to BS the audience and try to give you gray area and what ifs about something as serious as domestic violence. So let's make this very clear. You have to understand from a general manager or an ownership standpoint, and this is proven clearly as recent as the Cleveland Browns, if the athlete can help you, if the athlete can get you the big W, you will turn a blind eye to anything, whether it is murder, whether it is domestic violence, whether there is a long rap sheet of an athlete. If that athlete can help you, you feel that you can be the person that can solve the mystery, that you can unlock the issues of the athlete. And so this is where we are here. And it's not just a 2019 issue. This has been going on for a long time. Chris, we have to make sure it's very clear that if an athlete is available and there's some owners and general managers are like, oh, I can't have him around because that's a PR nightmare. Someone will find out how to be able to get that player on the field to help them because all they care about is the W. It's not a rehab place. It's not a place where you're trying to nurture. For some of these teams, it's about, yes, we know what your past was, but we couldn't care less. Help us now despite what you did.
It's also nice that they say they care about the person. They don't care about the person.
They care about the W.
They care about the W. They care about the stats. If the stats keep going down, they won't care about the person. Isn't that pretty obvious how that works in sports?
Yeah.
Let's go on out to Jay in Des Plaines. Jay, what do you think?
Well, I didn't hear what you guys were saying when I was on the phone with your producer. But, you know, what I told him was, how long does this have to go on? It's an employer who digs deeper than you guys. I mean, ESPN AM 1000, if you had domestic issues going on, ESPN 1000, for most cases, probably wouldn't dig as deep as Major League Baseball can and does. So he's paid a price. He's been humiliated. And he brought it on himself. I'm not feeling sorry for him. He's out for 50 games. He's losing money there. The family's been put out. She put it out to the public, to everybody. He had to come out and defend himself. So everybody knows what's going on. Why does Kaplan need to dig deeper? Why do we have to go any farther than someone who's paid, is paying right now, is his penalty, his penance, his dues. I mean, the guy's basically ruined. I mean, the Cubs are trying to do what most compassionate people would do, is say, let's give this guy a chance. How far it's going to go, we don't know. But at least they're trying to be somewhat compassionate.
Well, Jay, part of that, and we appreciate the phone call, the first part of that is you're saying that ESPN would not dig deep. I would ask you to go to some media websites and see how far this company digs to try to find out the truth and what's going on with certain employees for them to make a decision whether or not the employee should still be with the company or not. I mean, for any good business or any company, you do your due diligence to dig and make sure that you're doing the right thing as a company.
I also, you know, it's the other thing is I don't think the Cubs are not, I think they're supporting him to a fact. Like, they're putting it in place so then they can't get kickback on them if something else happens, right? Everything is on him to figure out, go through all these protocol. You know, the Cubs are the ones that set up domestic violence planning and all this stuff to educate everyone within the organization. They're doing their part. So I don't think it really has too much to do with him specifically, more of just covering their own behind.
Sure.
You know, Albert on I-90 wants to join us on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Albert, what's going on?
Yeah, hello. How you guys doing this evening?
Good, Albert. What do you got?
Well, you know, I really want to say this because there are many issues about domestic violence. I hate it because my mother went through it. But one thing I don't like is the hypocrisy in the life of people. Because if this was their own relative, if this was their own child, if this was their own son, they would not feel the same way. But one thing I understand is that we should understand that people do make mistakes. And in that mistakes, we should not get to the point whereby if it's not our own, we say kill him. But if it's our own, we say give him a chance. That's hypocrisy.
That's not the case for everybody, Albert. You can't paint a broad brush and say that that's the way. For instance, the original subject line on your call was, "What if it's in your family?" Well, let me answer that question for you. Because if it's in your family, what you're doing is that you're not separating yourself from your family member, but you're certainly going to address the issue. And you certainly are not going to be happy with the family member, just like some Cub fans should not be happy with Addison Russell doing what he did. Now, again, it's athletics. It's not the 1980s where one guy's going to be with the ball club forever. But Addison Russell, if you root for Addison Russell, if you root for the Cubs, you have to look at him with a side eye and saying, well, what the hell happened there? Why couldn't you control yourself? But you got to understand this also, Chris, these are people just like you and I. Everybody, they're the same thing. The only difference is they're wearing double knits, and they are athletes, and they're one of the one percenters. Those one percenters can also be involved in domestic violence, and just like it's in your family, just like it might be someone that's in your circle, you also have to look at that person like you look at Addison Russell and say, that's wrong. I mean, that's the first step is that's wrong. Now, how far you want to take it from there, that's fine. But if you turn a blind eye to it and because you don't know the ex-wife, but you know Addison Russell, so you're rooting for the athlete, again, that's myopic. And it's just that's when your fandom goes way over the top and not understanding reality.
And it may be looking way too into this, but to me, it was interesting that the time he got the most emotional within the press conference was when he was asked about having to face the media and not anything about his ex-wife or what he was going through before that. To me, that kind of tells me that, like, yeah, he's going through the motions. He's doing everything he was told to do to be a ball player still and to be employed for the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
But until he internalized it on his day-to-day and having to deal with it, that's when he got emotional. It wasn't the abuse that made him respond in an emotional fashion in the press conference. It was, well, when I had to come to you people to talk about this, that's when I started to get upset because it's about me and not the person I was abusing. That's what I took away from watching all this today. Let's go to Mario on 9094. What do you think of the situation?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, this topic is again, it's one of those things, like, I agree with you in terms of turning a blind eye is ridiculous. At the end of the day, if these guys are making the dollars for the company, they're going to stick around. Anyone who has a difference of opinion on that, let's put it in perspective. What if it was, you know, their daughter or their, you know, kinfolk, you know, whatever the case is, that was being abused by this individual? You'd want everyone to dig as deep as possible. Now, when it comes to the fans and standing behind them, me, I'm a Cub fan, and I will continue to go to the games, but I'm going to take my sons, and they're going to ask, why are they booing Addison Russell? Well, this is what happens when you do something that you are not supposed to do. Okay, domestic violence is wrong, period, across the board. And this is why he's getting booed, not for his performance per se, but because of the type of character that he is and the kind of person that he's acted like. So you could use it as a learning experience if you're a parent as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the call, Mario. Jonathan, after 28 games of this season, he'll be on the club and he'll play. Home or away, no matter what it is, what do you think the reaction from the fans will be?
After the first home run, it'll be just fine.
What about when it comes to the dish? Do you think people at Wrigley will be cheering for Addison Russell?
Yeah, I think the majority of them will. And I'll give you an example of why I say that. You remember not even 48 hours of hand-wringing and consternation of hosts and as well as fans alike trying to figure out how to handle the Chapman situation. Chapman's on the Cubs. How am I supposed to feel? Well, you're supposed to feel for the victim. That's what you're supposed to feel for. That should be first. But for some, it's about sports, and it's about whether or not he can get you strike three and whether or not he can give you the save. And so even with all that hand-wringing, as soon as Aroldis Chapman dialed it up to 106 miles an hour, you forgot about the domestic violence. And again, for me, I didn't forget about it, but I understand that for some, it's just about the games. And it's not like our politics sports divide. It's not that, because you see the player all the time and you know what the player has gone through, put himself through, put his family through. But yet that first home run, that first dazzling play over at short, you're not worried about it because you're just concerned about your favorite team. And to me, again, sports is just about laundry. You're rooting for laundry, but understand not only what the person did, but also the victim in the spot.
After 28 games, if you're a Cub fan, will you cheer for Addison Russell when he's back on the field at Wrigley Field? You can call us at 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers was at the press conference today. He'll join us next right here on ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We're still mindful that there's a lot of, and the way Theo relates it to innings played. We're still early in the ball game right now. We're trying to work our way through it, and everybody knows that. And of course, Addison knows it more than anybody. My role is to listen, I think, more than anything, and give him an opportunity to, again, reestablish these roles within the group. And again, there's so many if components attached to this thing, but from right now, it appears as though he's doing all the right things.
That was Joe Maddon earlier today before Addison Russell met the media in Arizona. I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood. It's Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about Addison Russell. The phone number is 312-332-3776. And Jonathan, when we saw Addison Russell step to the mic, he obviously had prepared statements he wanted to go to, and he kind of just recycled that same kind of gist all the way through.
Yeah, he had his bullet points on things that he wanted to say, Chris, and I think that he didn't want to veer off that too much. The press asked the questions that they asked, and I think that Russell had the things that he wanted to say, and we'll see what the Cubs do moving forward here after the suspension.
Jesse Rogers joins us now here on ESPN 1000. He covers the Cubs for ESPN. You can follow him at ESPN Shy Cubs. Jesse, it's Jonathan and Chris. How are you?
Good, guys. Good evening.
So, Jesse, when you were in the room listening to Addison Russell repeat the same thing over and over and over again, thanking reporters for the questions, what was your main takeaway from the press conference?
That he survived it. That was my main takeaway. And here's my point. We are sort of debating his tone. We're not debating the actual words that he said, because think about it. He could have put his foot in his mouth. He could have disrespected even unknowingly his ex-wife, depending on what path he went down with certain things. So I think he wanted to stick to his script, so he didn't put his foot in his mouth. And here we are just dissecting his tone more than what he said, because the words that he said, the actual words, probably were the right things to say. I take responsibility for my actions. I want to better myself. So that was my takeaway, that he survived it by not sticking his foot in his mouth or saying something disrespectful. And that, again, leaves us trying to figure out if he was sincere or not. That's a whole other story.
When the question that you posed to him about whether or not, you know, he's going to be in a Cubs uniform, was his answer satisfactory to you? And what do you think the real answer is? Do you think that he'll be part of the Cubs here?
Yeah, my feeling is now that he's here, he's going to be part of the Cubs, which surprised me. I thought that even after they tendered him a contract in November, that eventually they would have traded him. And they still can, because there's a lot of time between now and May 1st. But it does seem like he's taking these steps to return as a Cub. So I am a little surprised. I think he might be a little surprised that he's still a Cub, because nobody else really returns to their old team when they're suspended like this. The other teams have cut ties with their players who have been suspended for violating the domestic abuse policies. So, but you know what? The Cubs are kind of I think they try to portray themselves as a special organization. I know players love playing here, and I know that Theo, you know, takes care of his players and runs a tight ship as well. And they're going to hold him to a high standard. So I am a little surprised he made it to this day as a Cub. But maybe the Cubs want to set a precedent here. Hey, we're not going to cut ties. We're going to try to rehabilitate our own player and maybe make the best of a bad situation.
Jesse, you mentioned it. We're all debating whether or not he was sincere or not. Do you think he was sincere today?
Well, what I said earlier with Waddle and Sylvie, I'll stick to, because I've been saying it all offseason. I know the Cubs are sincere. I believe the Cubs are sincere. I don't know if he is sincere, and that today didn't change my mind. I still don't know. Remember, he only he's only going through this, you know, counseling, therapy, metamorphosis, whatever you want to call it, because of the fact that he got suspended. You know, it's not like he stepped forward and volunteered the things that he did wrong. He got suspended, was forced into counseling. Maybe he's recognized it. I don't doubt that a person can redeem himself after counseling and therapy. The things he said about learning about domestic abuse ring true to me. For someone that didn't know what abuse was before, you go to therapy and you learn. Because I've talked to experts. The easy one is when you punch your partner. That's abuse. But coming home and, like he said, isolating them on an island. That's what he meant by that. Not talking to them, holding financial, holding money back from them. That's also abuse. Maybe he didn't realize that falls under domestic abuse. So I don't doubt that he's learning from it, but I don't know if he's sincere because he's only learning from it because he was forced into it. And that robotic nature of his answers today, doesn't reveal if he's sincere or not.
Jesse, from the Cubs standpoint, how much was it for Addison Russell, the unwillingness to part with the asset versus just sticking with the player because this is a tough situation and the Cubs just didn't want to part with him because of this domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse policy that was enforced?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't think it had much to do with baseball. Look, this is an offseason where they're tight budgetary-wise, right? Yet they're spending $3.4 million on him. That they could have saved that, could have let him go for nothing. Yeah, they don't get anything back. But they would have saved $3.4 million and used that for a player that can play in the first month of the season. So I think they just thought, you know what, this is the right thing to do. I mean, look, if he was 37 years old, they would have released him. The point is there is some baseball value. They're in the business of baseball. It's not like they're bringing him back to rehab him, then they're going to release him. You know, look, they have a business to run. If he was 36, 35, whatever it is, he would have been gone. But he's in his prime. They liked him up until what happened. I'm talking about off the field. Nice teammate, whatever, until these things went down. So I think it was just like, okay, this is our guy. We're going to rehabilitate him. Maybe he'll play for us. Maybe he won't. But this is the right course of action.
Is the way they hope this plays out now is that he will not have to talk about this ever again in the media? If this comes up again in an interview or when reporters are around, is the reference going to be, I've already talked about this, so let's talk about baseball?
I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine he's not going to want to sit there and talk about his failed marriage and the problems he caused for it. You know what I mean? It's just not talking points around the locker room usually. But if there's a relevant question to be asked, I'll certainly be there to ask it. But I don't know that what he's going to say if someone approaches him. Hey, maybe someone missed the press conference and they want to ask him a question, or maybe they want to follow up after the press conference. I don't know what the answer to that is. I would imagine, just like any human being, he doesn't want to dwell on it very much. And you never know. Maybe he's getting advice that today was the big day, and right now he should concentrate on baseball.
Jesse Rogers on Under the Hood with Chris Bleck and Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. His face seemed to light up a little bit talking about his new relationship. How much did that surprise you? I'm surprised that question even came across, but I guess it is relevant because of his, dealing with a significant other.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a surprise, maybe not. I mean, you do the broad range of questions. In situations like this, other than something, really disrespectful, there's no bad question. You shoot, you do. Throw everything out there and see how he can handle it. So maybe you get him off. Not you don't do this on purpose, but maybe an intriguing question gets him off those robotic answers and you get to the core of Addison Russell. That's not something we saw. We didn't see a guy, strip away those layers and get to his core there. And I understand why. What I said before, you can stick your foot in your mouth if you go off script. I mean, it's the bottom line. Everybody's watching this all over the country, baseball world, so I don't necessarily blame him too much for sticking to the script. But, yeah, at least he was able to answer every question as best he could, though he repeated himself several times. But, good for him. If it's a healthy relationship, you did see him smile there. He's got several kids to care for. He's got a lot on his plate along with trying to play baseball again. So, no, I wasn't surprised by any questions. They were all legit in my world.
He said multiple times he's committed to the counseling and to becoming a better person after this situation. How's the play on the field going to be? Because I think we've all documented that clearly he struggled on the field about the same time that all this stuff started to come out.
Yeah, I don't think he could play much worse. So it could be a good thing for him. I mean, if he's in a good place with his family and he's getting therapy and counseling, you know, once he hits the field, maybe he can concentrate on that. I mean, think about sort of the load he was bearing these last couple years. You know, there's these semi-accusations out there in the social media world, and then boom, that blog hits. So there's no doubt it was weighing on him. I saw him every day, and he just was a different person, and his game was different. So it's possible he does all that stuff off the field, and then he gets on the field, and he can concentrate on baseball better than he has in several years. I don't know if spring will tell the story, but I guess it would be interesting if he had just had, like, the best spring at the plate or something, and then, of course, he has to sit out the month of April. But I can't imagine him playing much worse overall for him and his abilities. This is a first-round pick, all-star in 16, and he was a shell of himself these last 2 years.
Jesse Rogers on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jesse, unlike the White Sox, the Cubs, because we talked about this the other night, the roster as is good enough to compete with St. Louis and Milwaukee in the Central. I'm wondering, though, with you being in spring training, are there some young players that the Cubs are looking at to kind of round out the roster, or is it just, you know, the veterans and the players that we know that should be coming back north when spring training is done?
Yeah, there's some good depth there. They won't be coming north unless there's several injuries. I mean, we know the starting staff is pretty stacked as long as everyone's healthy throughout the spring. Bullpen is numbers-wise is stacked. You know, you can argue if it's talented enough. I mean, I think it is. Even without Brandon Morrow, they have enough numbers. There are some names, though. Dwayne Underwood is a name. You know, Duncan Robinson is going to make an appearance. Dakota Mekis. These are pretty good arms in the minors. Big kids that can really sling it. I mean, Duncan Robinson is kind of like a Kyle Hendricks. Actually, he's not a hard thrower. Actually, they both went to Dartmouth. Dakota Mekis, big kid though. There's more names there in the pipeline than they've ever had before, and I think they're going to make a mark. You know, you need more than the 12 or 13 pitchers you go north with. Position player wise, I don't think there's as much there for once. I think it's more about those pitchers that are coming up, and frankly, you know, they have enough position players barring some injuries. So it's interesting. It's turned a little bit in this organization finally, and I've never said that before. They may have a few more pitchers than we've seen before, but until they get to the majors, it's all just hype. And they've had other guys come up and disappoint, but I think this crop's a little bit better, Jay Hood.
Jesse, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great night.
Follow Jesse Rogers at ESPN Chi Cubs. You can also follow all of his videos and all his blogging and everything at ESPNChicago.com. He's ESPN's Cubs reporter, Jesse Rogers.
Yeah, so when we look at Pakota and look at some of the stats here, Pakota, I just don't buy that the Cubs are going to be a 500 ball club unless they have some injuries and just devastating going the wrong direction. But you do like what St. Louis did by getting Goldschmidt, trying to get back in the race. And then from there, looking at Milwaukee, what they did last year and trying to be able to repeat what they did last year. This story about the Cubs as a team, Chris, let me tell you, I know that for Joe Maddon, he's got generational wealth, so he doesn't matter. Like, he could be done with the Cubs after this season and go someplace else and manage. But my goodness, it's not the pressure on Maddon. But what about these new coaches on this staff? They don't know if they're just a one-year rental or if they're going to be here for the long haul, because if Madden's gone, then maybe the whole staff is gone if the Cubs don't achieve their goals of winning the World Series.
Whole staff is gone. I mean, think about this young core, too. You put together a young core to win multiple years in a row, and then you come into a season. You mentioned Pakota. Right now, Baseball Prospectus is saying the Cubs are going to win 80 games. Last in the division, which probably isn't the case. Mm-mm. But these are not opinions that people are putting out there. It's a projection based on an algorithm that Baseball Prospectus is using stats to figure out. This isn't someone just saying, you know what, we'll get a headline. I should have asked Jesse about this, because earlier today he was making it seem like Baseball Prospectus is pulling a first take. Like, they're out there giving you the hot take. Jesse, that's not the case. Someone let Jesse know that these are algorithms of numbers that they're putting out. I get it that it may not happen, but the point is, Pagoda is not just coming out and saying, no. Here's what will really get us some clicks today. Let's put the Cubs at 80-82 for the season. That's not how it works.
No, it's not like Ryan Hollins or Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, right.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
I think the Cubs are 80-win ball club.
And then Will Cain's just screaming at him across the table.
And Max.
Do I have to give you the truth here?
Just Max. Here's what I think. The Mets are better. It's not that. It's based on numbers and real facts, the way they see things.
I have two other projections for the Cubs, and I have a theory for you on this Cubs offseason coming up next, okay? That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. We're sitting here on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan, what was the conversation all offseason for the Chicago Cubs?
Will they win the World Series?
Well, that, and they're crying poor, right? They didn't have any money.
Oh,
they weren't going to spend in free agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have no money to spend. They're afraid of the luxury tax. We have nothing, right? We have no money. Gallagher Way, the ballpark, all the renovations, marquee on the horizon.
Well, that's because the Ricketts were slapping Theo and Jed on their respective bottoms, saying, you know what you did with that pitching for Darvish and Chatwood? Yeah, no more money.
No more unless you get better pitching.
Right.
So Pecota from Baseball Prospectus has the Cubs projected this year at 80-82. That's on the low side. Fangraphs has the Cubs projected at 88-74. That's on the high side of the projections.
Yep.
And today 538 came out with their projection, and the Cubs are at 84-78. Now the win total in Vegas right now is at 90 wins. So if you take three projections, 88, 84, and 80, to me, this tells us that based on all the computer numbers from the three different projections and three different websites, that the numbers are telling us that most likely this Cubs team will not be an elite team, and they most likely will not be a 95 to 100 win ball club, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that is safe to say. But and that's unfortunate because Theo has the right target age for these guys. In their prime, Bryant's 24, Rizzo's 26, Kyle Hendricks 26, Addison Russell's 22, Baez is 23, Schwarber's 23, Contreras 24, Hayward is at 26. So these guys are under 30,
yeah,
and they should be performing at their maximum, you would think. And again, nothing's guaranteed, but you would think those names I just mentioned, the core, should be able to contend for sure in the NL Central.
So here's my theory. If the nerds and all the stat websites are giving us projections that, to most Cub fans, I would assume people are saying, they don't know anything, right? And it's, that's junk. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of junk.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Will Bond.
Yeah, I watch a lot of PTI, so that's a bunch of junk.
That's a
to
bunch
these,
of junk,
to
Sylvie.
These analytical numbers, right?
They love Will Bond. That's a bunch of junk.
Theo and Jed, they're smart, right? They have their own numbers.
Sure.
They have Ivy, right? The number analytical system that they use internally.
Mm-hmm.
What if their numbers have told them that the projections are probably close to these two that are on the lower end, the 84 and the 80 of their current ball club? And the reason they didn't spend this offseason is because they really know what they have, and this is not an elite team that is worth going over the luxury tax, because you're going to struggle to even win the division. Is that a possibility?
Yes. I think he looks at the core and says, he folds his arms and goes, that's on you guys. Second half of the season, they were struggling to get two runs across more times than not. So I don't blame Theo and Jed. If they probably would love to have a Machado or a Harper to try to enhance and kind of jumpstart this offense. But Chris, all those guys I just mentioned, if you're not hitting the baseball, that's on you. It's not like you didn't put in position to succeed. All those guys, the great Baez and the Russells and the Rizzos and the Bryants, if you're not hitting the baseball, I mean, what else do you need? See, one of those guys, one Machado or one Bryant, one guy from the Washington Nationals, I mean, that's not going to help you get everything going that you need offensively.
Right. It's not going to take you from 84 to 95.
No, Harper's win above replacement is not like 100.
It's not 11,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So no matter what way you look at it, there's a good chance Theo already knows what he has. And maybe that's why they didn't spend this offseason. It's not because they don't have the money. I think they have the money.
The talent's there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. Under the Hood on ESPN 1000.